The word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts shall be called the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a staff in hand because of their great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, even though it seems impossible to the remnant of these people in these days, should it also seem impossible to me, says the Lord of hosts? Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to live in Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, in faithfulness and in righteousness.
From the Gospel of Luke. Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it, assuming that he was in the group of travelers that went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. He said to them, Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of the Lord. Children grow up fast, don't they? People have babies, and before you start getting a full night's sleep again, they're preschoolers. Then you turn around, and they're walking out the door with their backpacks over their shoulders, seemingly so independent. When I moved here to Bryn Mawr a short while ago, our younger son was just finishing high school, and a month ago we attended his college graduation. In the blink of an eye, our boy has become a young man and is heading into the world of his own making with amazing friends and vocational aspirations and plans for the future. Last weekend, we called him on his 22nd birthday, and it's kind of a joke in our family for me to say, Winston, do you want me to tell you about the day you were born? Nope, Mom. You always ask, and I have repeatedly said, no, thank you. Our sons don't want to hear about labor and delivery and those infant days of complete dependency. And I don't ever want to forget them. All of us have come from some sort of family, and many of us have launched generations of children and grandchildren. And it is a treasure to be part of an intergenerational community. If there's one thing the church offers every single one of our members in community, it is the opportunity to be a part of an intergenerational group of people. Whether you live alone or with others, are single or have a family, still live with little ones, or in a retirement community. Whether you have family close by or far away, the church is, for all of us, an intergenerational family. Through baptism, we belong to one another. Our children need the more mature among us to nurture them in faith. And the older members yearn for the assurance that there is a future for generations to come so that the good we have done will carry on. Our Old Testament reading from Zechariah contains one of my favorite prophetic visions in all of Scripture. The people of God have been captive in Babylon. They're refugees who have been displaced by warfare and economic desolation like so many of the world's population today. Now the war is over, and they are returning to Jerusalem to rebuild their city and their community. Zechariah holds out a vision for them so that they can live toward that vision, so that it will guide their communal life and give shape to their ethics. They will not just worship God, but they will enact their faith in practice. They will not only pray for peace, they will become peacemakers. They will not only yearn for justice, they will provide for the poor, care for the elderly, and protect the young. So the vision Zechariah gives the people is this simple and yet stunningly beautiful intention of God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of their great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. God wants this kind of community for the welfare of all of us, where the older members are respected for the wisdom that comes with age. They will talk and enjoy the great outdoors and watch little children play in contentment and safety, and nothing will threaten them or make them afraid. You know, you can belong to a lot of different groups or clubs or organizations, but none of them aspire to embody this kind of intergenerational community like the church. And we at Bryn Mawr Presbyterian Church are trying to do that with more vision and intentionality. So during the season when folks go and come, the unifying continuity of our summer worship will be based on the gospel stories we teach our youngest children, the 2, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. The hope is that when children and youth come to worship during these summer months, they will recognize the stories about Jesus as their own story. And those of us who are older will remember why these familiar stories are so foundational to our faith. It would appear that the gospel writer Luke thought it important for the incarnation of God to be revealed in a truly intergenerational way. For he gives us the one glimpse of Jesus growing up. He captures a moment in his adolescence when Jesus asserts his independence from his earthly parents and begins to chart his own life. It is reminiscent of both the joy and the grief we recognize in our own growing up, or as we watch our children leave the more innocent stages of life behind. The poet Billy Collins captures some of this joy and the grief in a poem called On Turning 10. From the imagined perspective of a 10-year-old, it goes like this. You tell me it's too early to be looking back, but that is because you have forgotten the perfect simplicity of being one. And the beautiful complexity introduced by two. But I can lie on my bed and remember every digit. When I was 4, I was an Arabian wizard. I could make myself invisible by drinking a glass of milk in a certain way. At 7, I was a soldier. At 9, a prince. But now I'm mostly at the window watching the late afternoon light. Back then it never fell so solemnly against the side of my treehouse, and my bicycle never leaned against the garage as it does today, all the dark blue speed drained out of it. This is the beginning of sadness, I say to myself as I walk through the universe in my sneakers. It is time to say goodbye to my imaginary friends. Time to turn the first big number. It seems only yesterday I used to believe there was nothing under my skin but light. If you cut me, I would shine. But now when I fall upon the sidewalks of life, I skin my knees. I bleed. Growing up is not easy. We all know. The time for imaginary friends and light under our skin comes to an end all too soon. Can you just imagine what that must have been like for Jesus? We have this one glimpse of him maturing into adolescence, claiming his independence, worrying his parents to no end. Like the child in Billy Collins' poem, the 12-year-old Jesus we meet in the Gospels seems knowledgeable beyond his years. He is precocious and sounds a little sassy, striking out on his own, leaving his family and party of travelers without permission to do as he pleases. His parents grow anxious with the worry many of us have felt suddenly to discover a child gone missing. Yet Jesus responds to his mother's anxiety with such conviction. He says with such cool, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be here in my Father's, in God's house?" For Mary, it probably seemed like just yesterday when she herself was lost in Bethlehem, with Joseph frantically looking for a safe place to stop for the night and give birth to this child. Now her child is old enough to wander off alone and talk back to her when he is found. This is a transitional episode, according to biblical scholars, to allow Jesus to find his voice as the Son of God and to set the stage for his public ministry. Luke's congregation in the early church was searching too, with concern that the Christian message was getting lost in some fundamental ways. The oppression of Rome was threatening a tenuous peace. Religious debate among Jews and early Jewish Christians and Gentiles endangered the spread of the gospel. Luke's aim was to assure his listeners that Jesus really was the Son of God. So he included these open-ended questions in his book. Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know? With this story, Luke declares who Jesus is from an early age. It identifies him as the Son of God, as one whose light shines below the skin, and who will someday bleed when he falls on the sidewalks of life. Even as an adolescent, run away from his parents, God's promises can be seen in this holy child. Mary's frantic searching mirrors the seeking of those early Christian converts, and it mirrors our own searching. Was this Jesus really the Son of God? And how could they have known when he was a child? According to Luke, we see Jesus setting off on his own as soon as he is old enough, leaving his early parents, remaining in Jerusalem, and going back to the temple, the place where people worshiped and learned about God. And with a godly maturity, Jesus responds to our searching questions, saying, "Why are you searching for me?" As if to say, "You know where to find me. I'm right where I belong, doing God's work among the people of God, beginning God's mission on earth in a new way." Episcopal priest Anne McConney has written of how we assimilate this Christ into our understanding by encouraging us to remember the gift of his childhood as well as the child in each one of us. She writes, "When we open ourselves to the child within us, we open ourselves to hope. No one can hope as fervently or with as much faith as a child. Hope and expectation are the core of childhood because everything lies ahead. Children dare to hope for the impossible. And when the impossible comes true, as now and again it does, they greet it with wonder. A child is open to the world. A child is curious. A child lives in a world of what if. A child knows that change and adventure are a part of life and welcomes them. A child believes the best of the world. A child is filled with trust. No one trusts like a young child. No one has such belief in goodness." And then she says this: "When we let in the Christ child, we let all of these things back into our lives. Nothing helps us discover the childlike goodness and wonder and openness of Christ himself quite like being the intergenerational community of the church. May the growing up of Jesus grow up within us. May the growing up of Jesus grow up among us. Amen.